Dolly Parton once said, "It cost a fortune to look this cheap." Andy Warhol said, "I am deeply a superficial person." Anthony Hayden once said, "Of course I can keep my secrets. It's the people I tell that can't keep them." And then Mark Twain had a classic one, "I can resist everything but temptation." Very well done. And my all-time favorite, W.C. Fields, "The best cure for insomnia is to get a lot of sleep." So there we go. And you know what? We live in a fallen world full of many, many contradictions. And the reason I even bring this into our conversation today is because we actually live in a day and age where there's a lot of inconsistencies, but there is one consistent truth, and there's one consistent source of truth, and there is only one consistent being that has ever existed or will ever exist, and it's the one thing that is constantly under attack in our world. If you go to Google, and you were to Google this phrase, and I'm betting money there's people doing it right this second, even probably in this room now. Google the phrase "contradictions in the Bible." I did that on Monday morning, and you find 38,900,000, and results in 0.62 seconds. It's a lot of results in a very short amount of time. I'm not even kidding. You find people who are looking for places in the Bible where it contradicts itself. Now look, it's one thing to speak about contradictions, but to assign a contradiction to God is a very dangerous ground to be walking on. See, most of the arguments really in the end are easy to refute and address, but there are times where it feels like it is saying one thing and turning around and saying another. But when you really get down to it, when you work at it, you find passages like that, like we're going to look at today, you'll see them, and when you take the time to work and break it down verse by verse, you actually see that they don't actually contradict themselves at all. So today we're going to look at one of those phrases or verses in Proverbs. We're going to look at two verses. The first one that you're going to hear, you're going to go, okay, that seems straightforward. And then we're going to see a flip at the end, right after it. We're going to be looking in Proverbs chapter 26. I'm going to go ahead and encourage you to look there. And we're going to be in verses 4 and 5. And as we look at it, we're going to see that this is the baseline of our conversation. And then we're going to look at some of our places in our current situation of our culture that lead us to consider the passage more deeply. Now we'll start with Proverbs, this section in the ESV. That's what I'm going to read from. And then we're going to flip over to the NIV version because it reads just a bit smoother. But in Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, it says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." And so if you flip on over to the NIV, it's almost the same thing, but it renders a little bit different. It says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." So, there it is. Don't answer a fool, but answer a fool. I mean, it seems to contradict itself. What in the world does that even mean? How is that not a contradictory? So this is what we're going to wrestle with today. And in order to wrestle well, and in order to understand well, we need to ask the source of he who wrote it. So let's go ahead and ask God to help us out. Father, we thank you for your word today, your truth. Lord, as we continue to dig through foolishness and wisdom, Lord, as we live in a world that is desperate for wisdom, but folly is all over. Lord, help us. Help us to hear, absorb, live, and breathe your truth. Lord, may these words that we take in today, may they be upon us and breathe out of us. May we be a representation of the very things that we take in from your truth. May it be poured out into others as we seek to bring the lost to you, so that they too might find the hope in Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what do you do with this? Why are these statements side by side? And I'm going to be very direct on this because I really do believe that these were meant to be side by side. They were actually given to us as a healthy reality of when it is we should speak and when it is we shouldn't, when we should let our tongue loose and when we should hold our tongue. So let's go ahead and get this base point out of the way. There are people who are going to be diligent about turning you away from faith. So it's okay to understand that. That's not going to change. It hasn't changed since Jesus. It won't change post-Jesus. And it will not change until he returns. They look for ways to make you look foolish. And as they do that, our process to make them look foolish, well, it ends up hurting us. Our goal should be to discern the situation and to either speak or not speak. So what do you do? How do you discern? How do you come to a place where you can say, this is the time I need to speak up, or this is the time I should remain silent? And that's hard. And I really wrestled through this week. And as we discern this first thought, I want you to be able to hear this. The first thing you need to understand is you need to know how to avoid the trap. If you see the trap before you, you need to know how to avoid the trap. Now, there are going to be things that you're going to walk into that is painfully obvious, that needs to be addressed, but there will always be times when we will deal with people who are simply looking to be rebuked, who are simply looking to be confronted, who are simply looking to pick a fight and waiting for you to bite. And you may not see it initially, but if you enter into that situation wrongfully, poorly, or unaware, they are ready and they are armed. See, the wisdom is going to be in our ability to look at the situation, to discern the situation, and to know if this is what we're dealing with. And so to help you understand why I believe it isn't easy, because this is my natural tendency to battle. When being battled with, I naturally want to battle. And it doesn't matter what I know is truth. It doesn't matter. I'm just ready to battle. And I've worked a lot over the last few years. I've told you this for the past couple of months and working on towards wisdom and trying to work away from those things, those living out of an atmosphere of anger or an atmosphere of not paying attention about what's going to come out of my mouth because I just want to be right. I've done it a lot. And one of the most recent things I did is, some of you found this out, I've cut Facebook out of my life because there's just too much bait there. And I had my sister actually text me yesterday, and she wanted to know if I was going to get back on Facebook. And I think my wife puts it best. She says, my people know me, and they know all they need to know about me. And therefore, no, I will not be returning. And man, I love it. I do. I absolutely love it. The time wasted on that's insane. And I just realized I'm not so keen on Instagram either. It's going away this week. And the things that I can control, if I see and recognize it is causing some of this disunity in me, some of this festering anger inside of me, it's time to cut it out probably. See, too many times I found myself taking the bait and I would engage, maybe not in the conversation, but in that festering anger or the thought process attached to it. And so how you decide if it's worth an argument is very important. So how do you do that? How do you decide that this means I need to take the time and I need to speak up boldly? How do you decide to speak or to see that it's a trap that needs to be avoided? And you want to start with these few questions. Will my speaking force me to stoop to a place of their level? That's a very important question. Are you going to stoop to a place where you're being hurtful, where you're causing pain, where you're causing divisiveness? There's a good chance that that's a trap. Will it fall on deaf ears? I'll give you the best example of this. There are times where I battle with my son and I have this very obvious truth that stands before him, and I could show him the truth and I could say, here's why I know I'm right and here's why I know you're wrong. And it can be so glaringly obvious. And you know what he'll say? You're wrong. It's falling on deaf ears. Why bother wasting my time arguing? I'm just now starting to figure that out. It's a lot less stressful to not argue. And then you get the, why are you ignoring me in return? Okay, whatever. But here's what I want you to understand. It can drain you to the point where you have no joy left, right? Have you ever been in that kind of argument that in the end, they're just as angry when you started and you're angry all of a sudden and you came in with joy? Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9 on this very idea. This is Solomon speaking. He says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer. And this is an important piece of this right here. Or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Man, Proverbs 9, 7 through 9, that is so crucial to the very thing of what we're actually talking about right here. If a person refuses to hear any wisdom, even when it seems glaringly true, it's time to walk away. If they're not going to hear it, why are you bothering fighting them? Most of the times, if they're coming in for that argument, it doesn't matter what you're going to say. Again, discern the situation. Don't fall into the trap because then you start playing that game. This is what those people long for. It also puts you in the danger of something I think that is even of grander, more importance here, being foolish yourself. The very thing that Solomon warned us of. It can lead you to mocking, can lead you to lying, it can lead you to speaking with such contempt with your words in your quest to win the argument that you end up crushing your witness as being a believer in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, when that is the case, it is not worth fighting fire with fire. It will make you look like a fool. And no honor is rewarded to the fool. So I come back to this question. How in the world do you avoid that trap? Because here's how it looks for me. This is probably the more common argument that happens when I'm talking with somebody of unbelief or somebody who's really working through this place of trying to bring me down in my own faith. And one of the most common things is, you people, speaking of believers or people who call themselves a believer, they'll challenge me or they'll challenge that of a believer as being hateful. And they will challenge us with that, and I want to go ahead and answer this. There are hateful believers. Okay, let's get that out of the way. But then they use those few instances where somebody has been nasty and acclaimed Christ in their nastiness as the whole church, right? So what do you do in that? You recenter the conversation. Bring the conversation away from you. Bring the conversation away from the church for a moment. And start focusing in on what Jesus has done. Always keep it about Jesus. Always focus on what Jesus did. And always do this. Admit your fallen. That you are a broken mess and that you probably did fail them. But that Jesus still died for you. And it's even better to say this. I hear everything that you're accusing me of. And you're right. But Jesus... See, when they ask why this, and why are you this way, and why is the church like that? When they're trying to suck you into the trap, when you're debating on whether you should comment on Facebook or retweet something or send out that email, always come back to this thought for yourself as well. The very first thought should always be, but Jesus. See, my friend, sometimes there are obnoxious people. There are obnoxious, vindictive, pride-filled people. And sometimes those people are believers. But Jesus, right? But Jesus died for them. But Jesus died for us. And the last thing you want to do is ruin your but Jesus. You don't want to ruin your witness because that might possibly be the very thing they are needing in their life right now, not an argument. Okay, so now we've learned how not to engage the fool by stooping to their level. But then we have to deal with the second part of our passage today. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So don't answer a fool, but answer a fool. What does that mean? The most simplest way, yes, sometimes it is good to remain silent, but there are times as we discern, as we look at the situation, where we should be speaking up. Avoid the trap, yes, but don't remain silent. So now we got ourselves a big box of confusing shoes we got to try on. And in one verse, don't speak, and in the next verse, speak. What in the world are we talking about? Well, first, let's understand this. We're talking about two different types of fools here. One knows he is foolish and he is looking for trouble. He is ready to pick a fight. And then there's the other foolish. People who are unaware that they are foolish or being fooled. What Solomon is driving at is this. It is dangerous to let someone remain foolish that does not see it is foolish. These might be people who are at the very least open to being shown that something is foolish in their life. We should not desire them to believe that they are wise, but hope and pray that they will listen. We should not allow them to stay there if it can lead them to pain and miss out on the hope of Jesus. What if we are their hope in that moment that leads them to that cross? Let me give you an example so you see where I'm coming from. We just had the Tall Corn Festival when the parade was over and you all were all walking away and they opened up Main Street, the cars began. There was still some candy out in the streets. Now let me ask you this. If you saw that candy was being thrown out into the streets and the traffic is going both ways and it was busy for that few minutes in Rossville, it's the heaviest traffic time in all year in Rossville. The only time we'll ever need a stoplight, right? You see the kids running out there for the candy. Are you going to go to yourself, I hope they don't get hurt? That'd be sad. No. Aren't you going to step in to the fact that they don't recognize this? This is not a wise idea, but I see that candy. They're not thinking this is not a wise idea. All they're thinking is, I see that candy. See, when we are unaware that we are being foolish, we need someone who is wisdom-filled to be around us to say, stop! That's going to kill you. But sometimes we just rather stay in our quiet. How many people do you have in your life that continue in patterns of sin and pain? How many people who just continue to walk into bad situation after bad situation and they actually believe they're being wise only to end up being hurt again and again and again, and they come to you when their pieces are falling apart. This is where we're called to step in. This is where we're called to be the church. It's not always pleasant. It's not always beautiful. But maybe, God placed you into their lives to help them avoid this folly over and over, especially when they can't see it. You might just be the one they're willing to listen to. Maybe they don't respond well the first time. Maybe they fight against it, and their notion is to run off in a fury. And if that happens, and it will, more likely than not, how you handle it is so important because there's a solid chance they are going to come back. What about when they're curious and their nerves have calmed down and they're by themselves, left to their own thoughts, and all they can think about is those words that you spoke lovingly, hopefully, into them? And they're curious about why you thought what you thought. And they come back. Timid, not necessarily ready to hear it, but they ask the question, what do you mean by that? Be there. Speak into that. It's not always going to be like that, though. There are going to be times when you encounter foolishness that is going to hurt someone else. Don't stand off to the side and allow others to be lulled into foolishness. Now, I'm going to start with a very easy way. We're going to look back at kids again. You want to give your kids freedom to some level, to grow up and to learn. I understand that. But if you see them walking into a death trap, are you going to be okay with that? If you see your friend walking into a horrible situation that you know is going to destroy them, maybe even their family, are you going to stand by the sideline and just hope that nothing happens? Especially if they've already invited you into that friendship that speaks in love. See, when we see that foolishness is hurting others, and then maybe that foolishness can go on and hurt others through them, we need to call them out. You don't have to lower yourself to some foolish standard and be nasty or hurtful, but not saying something. And not saying something can easily be contrived as this: I approve. I approve what you're doing. You don't have to be a jerk, but you don't have to stay on the sideline either. See, if your motivation is for their good and not for you to just be right, pray for godly wisdom to cover you. Ask others to pray for you and go after it. Don't just sit there on the sideline. And you know what my natural response is when I see something that I know I need to step into? But who am I? I'm a mess. And it keeps pushing me to this very important truth. Maybe that's pointing me to the fact I need to connect more with my Savior. Because you know how many times where I've had the opportunity to speak into it and I chose not to and I've regretted it and I've seen those people hurt time and time again and I thought if I just said something, or when they would say, did you see this happening? Any of you had that conversation? Did you see this happening? And you say, we could see it, but sweetie, we didn't want to step into that. And their response is anger. Why? If you could see it, why wouldn't you step into it? Man, oh man, oh man, we got to grow in this area. Some people are more gifted in this area than others, but we're all called to stand in the gap sometimes. And this is us shaping and sharpening one another. So how do you grow in this area? What can we do for ourselves to help ourselves be built up in this area? And the answer to me is very, very clear, and it's very Sunday school, but it's very truth. This is lean into Jesus. See, the ability to grow in the area of discernment is not going to be found in some blog or some post on Facebook. It's not going to be found in any book. The only way to grow in this area is in the power of Jesus Christ himself. And if you love to tell people off, if that is your natural tendency, lean into Jesus. If you don't know how to speak up at the right time, lean into Jesus. And if you struggle with anger and being vindictive and disrupting, lean in to Jesus. And if you're gifted in this area, like you know, like you've done every spiritual gift inventory and you know discernment is your truth and you know that he has given you the ability to speak into harsh situations and to speak that truth even when people don't want to hear it, oh, I want to pray this for you. Lean into Jesus. I pray and beg of you. So why do we do this? Why do we lean into Jesus? Well, look at the example that he said. Isn't it Jesus who knew how to speak hard truths? And he knew when to speak with no words. Isn't it that Jesus who in his silence, it was so loud. He knew when to correct and he knew how to do it. It's one of the reasons people were drawn to him. He taught how it should be done. With the Pharisees, they would challenge him on rules and laws to trap him, and he called them out. He revealed their hypocrisy so that they would not think they were wise in their own eyes, and it would also help the crowd to recognize these are not wisdom-filled men. Don't follow this. When Peter, he loved Peter, right? And Peter is this bold man of faith. And when Peter heard Jesus talking about the idea of the cross and that he was going to die, and Peter said, no, not you, Lord. Peter's rebuking Jesus Christ. He knows that this is the Son of God. And he goes, there ain't no way. We're not going to let that happen. You're not getting the cross. And Jesus responded boldly, didn't he? He loves Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. He never answered folly with folly. He did not fall into a trap or playing the mind games with the chief priests. He read every situation. And do you know why he read it well? Yes, he is the Son of God. But he pursued his Father vigilantly. He did not ever stop pursuing him. He read every situation. He read and looked at every person. And he responded according to their real need. When people sought healing, he sought their heart. Go and sin no more. When his disciples questioned what he was doing, he confronted them and he taught them more truth. When the Jewish leaders questioned him at his trial in Matthew 26, he did not answer folly with folly. Nothing was said because he knew this. Nothing's going to change this outcome. This is what is set before me. This is why I'm here. And I'm taking on the cross and nobody's taking that away from me, because all it's going to do is cause more chaos if I speak into this situation. So let bygones be bygones and let me take on that cross just like I was called to do. They looked for more chaos. He looked for finality. He refused to speak to Herod in Luke 23. Pilate was taken aback by the fact that Jesus didn't answer him. Which he could have had a conversation that could have spared his life. Jesus did not allow his truth to be disturbed. He looked at every situation and he spoke when needed. He spoke to refute folly. He spoke to speak love into lies. He spoke to speak life into death. And he did speak sometimes, right? And he's still speaking when he's not speaking. When he didn't speak, his words were even louder. My grandmother, I miss my grandmother. The grandmother I remember from being a 9 and 10-year-old boy. Because she would praise me about everything. But if she didn't speak into me when I was being naughty, if she didn't speak into me when I knew I deserved a spanking and it was just a matter of time before she was going to go and get the switch, if she didn't speak into that, it was crushing. Because I knew what I deserved, but when she didn't speak, it overwhelmed me. I was ready to battle. Her words were even more deafening then. So here it is. Jesus produces this in all of his followers. You got to be following him, though. If you're lacking in this, follow him more. If you're not growing in it, literally hunker down and take the time to ask God to lead you in it. If you're lacking and not growing because of sin, which is likely for all of us, repent. Right? That's what he gives us a start over every time. Repent. Repent and sin no more. And then say to him, I want to be used by you to do your work. If I'm lacking in any area of wisdom, will you show me? And he'll speak that truth into you. And then if you're lacking in this area because you're just not a believer, I love Jesus' response. Repent and believe. Come and follow me. What other answer in this life could there be that would lead to an eternal life? None. No other answer. We get to come to him all messed up, all our sins sitting right there before him. He says, come. I know. This world is going to It's going to continue to get worse. It's not going to get better. And if you're holding out for that hope, then I pray your hope is wrapped up in Jesus' return and nothing else. Because this world will not get better. Doesn't mean we won't have good. Doesn't mean we won't be victorious at times. But it's not going to get better. It's going to look more confusing. You think it looks rough now. Can't imagine what 5 years from now is going to look like. We got it good right now. We can come into this place of worship without any fear, right? You know what we're faced talking about more and more now? Security. Locking the doors during the daytime when we're at the church. Because we just can't trust anymore. And the thing is I'm okay with it in the end. And he said this world was going to give me trouble, right? But we got to learn how to discern and speak into that trouble. And there's going to be times when it's not worth the battle. Because they're not looking to be changed. But when you see it there and you're not doing anything about it and it's crushing the life of someone else, and you just keep ignoring it because it's easier to sit on the sideline. Lean into Jesus, please. Look, you hear me every week plead with you. And here's the honest to God's truth, guys. It is hard doing this. From a pastoral standpoint, from a church standpoint, it feels like we're playing a game sometimes. And if that's what it is, it's very dangerous. See, this is life and death, in my opinion. And there are people who are desperate for you to speak truth into them. To be truth before them. To live in such a way where they look at you, as it said, like an alien. Different, set apart from this world. You're giving your money to what? You're speaking to who? At some point, it comes down to you either making the decision to be all in or just remain on the sideline. But if you're ready to be all in, man, oh man, does he have a journey for you. And it will not be easy, but it will most definitely be an adventure. And it's one worth getting on board for. So just take some time this morning to kind of decompress a little bit and ask God to speak that truth into you. Please, please, please. Then we're going to take some more time to worship. So let's go ahead and bow our heads.